This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Faithful Jama'ah, on Sunday especially, he is one of the elders among us, but he is always the first to arrive. He's not been well on life support. May Allah make it easy. We are going to visit him after the class with the family members, inshallah. Arifin Aris. And this is the uncle of Sister Zarina Kasim. And also we make a dua for Nick Berry, the brother of one of our sister, Lynn Nora. We make the normal dua first, then we continue with the dua for those who are not well, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka nushur. Bismillahillazi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيهما اللهم أجرهما في مصيبتهما واخلف لهما خيرا منها. We are asking Allah رب العالمين to bless our morning, our evening, to bless our living and our dying, and to make us among the people who are always ready to meet Almighty Allah. We ask Allah to protect all of us who are present today from all the trial, the fitan that Allah knows best. And we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to make us people who are thankful to Him, who remember Him, that He is our true God who we worship, the one true God, Allah. And we have been blessed with Islam, and we have been also been blessed to become the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Ummah. We ask Allah, Almighty Lord of the Magnificent, to make those who are not well, make them well as soon as possible, strengthen their iman, increase their patience, and make their heart and their mind and their tongue keep on remembering Allah Rabbul Alameen. We also ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to replace them with a better environment and things that what Allah have tested them until today. Meaning living in this life, brother and sister, there are time we are healthy, there are time we are sick. There are time we are up, there are time we are down. But we keep on asking Allah Rabbul Alameen to always replace what He has put us through with something better, especially for the two person that we are making dua today. Allahumma adqilna jannatak wa ajilna minan nar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. Before we continue, we'd like to convey salam from some of the Saudi delegates who have visited us yesterday here. And we also visited the king yesterday. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, with Allah's blessing, we have a lot of discussion among the local scholars and some of our scholars from the Middle East to think of what is the best thing for the Muslim to move forward, yeah? To work together as one ummah, and to get ready to face a bigger trial that only Allah knows best. We all agree that we have to strengthen ourselves to face one type of Shia, just one type, because Shia has been existing maybe a few hundred years ago, but only lately we encounter a lot of unrest from the new group of Shia known as the Shia Khomeini. Yeah, because only this Shia that promote revolutionary ideas. The other Shia, they believe what they want to believe. We believe what we believe, but they don't disturb anyone. Only when Khomeini came back, he started to introduce the Islamic revolution ideas. Since then, there's a lot of unrest in the Middle East. Yeah? And this issue can spread, yeah, everywhere. It's like a virus. Yeah? But may Allah protect us. They were happy that Malaysia, alhamdulillah, government have decided to ban, yeah, any Shia activities. Yeah, that's why in our khutbah Jumaat, you will see that, I do not know about wilayah, but in Selangor State, they always remind everybody to stay away from this kind of group, yeah? Because it is illegal in this country. Yeah? Anyhow, brother and sister, this is just the beginning, yeah, of all of us to start to work closely how to be prepared mentally, spiritually, to save our iman, our aqidah, and also to save the ummah. Yeah? Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us, وَلَا تَكُنُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't be like those who like to be divided. We should always work together how to unite, not to divide. But how to unite if you are not following what Allah wants us to do? Because Allah said, no one can unite the heart of all of us except Allah. Because Allah controls the hearts. Allah did mention also in the ayah that if human will gather whatever they have on this earth with all their wealth, yeah, to win the hearts of the people, to buy them and unite them, they can't do it. Because heart is something very, very, yeah, I would say that money cannot change your feeling sometimes. Yeah? We know those who have, all of us have a good heart, alhamdulillah. Yeah? But we have to take care of our heart properly by remembering what Allah wants us to do. Allah bi zikri lahi tatma'inul qulub. By remembering Allah, following the wahyu, your heart will have peace. You have the peace of heart, you have the peace of mind, inshallah. Today, inshallah, according to my book and also your book, it should be the same book. No? We should be focusing on page 23, yeah, under the title, What to Do When a Person Dies. The ayah that I always quote in the beginning of our class, I always said what Allah have reminded our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and our Prophet always remind his ummah from his time. And then the companion also do the same, and that's why the companion are the best people. Yeah? And then you have the second generation tabi'in, you know, I did mention who are the tabi'in. You cannot consider yourself a tabi'in if you don't follow the sahaba. You cannot consider you are sahaba if you don't follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is the link. Yeah. No, not that. I'm just trying to remind us, nobody can say that they're better than sahaba. Why? Because the Prophet said, Khairun nas qarni. Best people are the people who live in my time. Yeah? The people who are with the Prophet is the best. They are the first, the pioneer Muslim. Yeah? It's like how the king is here to pay us a visit. Yeah? And we say that the king of Saudi is the best country to lead the Ummah. Because Islam began from Mecca and Medina. And is there, not in our country. And you can see when people go to Hajj, everybody is united. You see, that's the best place. Yeah? And they were here to do that, actually. To strengthen the ties between Muslim country. Yeah? And hope that Allah Rabbul Alameen help those who help his religion, inshallah. Mm-hmm. Now, Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us that do not be like those who love to divide. That's why the companion, none of them, even they have different opinion, you never come across they will fight among each other, they abuse or humiliate each other, none. They will honor their leader. They always, at the end, go back to the leader. Whatever the leader decide, they all will accept. Yeah? That is the beauty of the Sahaba. Then you come to the next generation, Tabi'in. Why you call them Tabi'in? The word Tabi' means those loyal followers. That means they learn Islam from the Sahaba. And that's why they call Tabi'in. If you said, I'm a Tabi'in, but I don't refer to the Sahaba, you cannot be a Tabi'in. It's like you said, you cannot be the Sahaba if you don't follow the Sunnah. And then the Prophet said, "Wa tabi'in." Three generation. Qarni, thumma lazina yalunahum, thumma lazina yalunahum. Three generation. It means in Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi' Tabi'in. You cannot say, "I am the Tabi' Tabi'in," if you don't follow the Tabi'in. Example, who are the imam among the four great imam? Who is Tabi'in? Who is among the four imam, who is the Tabi'in? Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit. Because he learned from Sahaba. Yeah, only Hanafi are the Tabi'in. The rest are Tabi' Tabi'in. Bukhari, Muslim, all are tabi' tabi'in. Yeah? Now that ayah that I always quote is the same ayah that the Sahaba recite, the tabi'in recite, and the tabi' tabi'in recite. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah, O you who believe in Allah, to all of us, ittaqillah, try your level best to be faithful and be obedient to Allah. Then, at the end of the day, Allah said, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure that all of us will have a good ending, that we will never end our life here until we have submitted to Allah. We must learn how to submit to Allah. We have been praying, and this is one of our submission, salah. But prayer is not only the only way to submit to Allah. But this is one of the basic, yeah, one of the beginning of a person who submit to Allah is they worship Allah 5 times a day. Yeah? Meaning, whatever Allah ordained on earth, we must learn how to accept. That's how you submit to the qadar. Whatever Allah have ordained upon us, we just learn how to accept. Don't try to argue or try to say, why me? Allah knows what is best for all of us. Death is something that nobody can control because it belongs to Allah. Only Islam is here to guide you how to handle death, how to prepare for your departure. That's all. Everybody has to go. Only how you go back to Allah and how do you prepare yourself. For those who don't have the Quran and the Sunnah, brothers and sisters, remember, we have the Quran, alhamdulillah. But without the Sunnah, we are all lost. We cannot practice the deen. So Sunnah is a great blessing. Nobody can really understand how to live as a Muslim without following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let us go back to this book. What to do when a person dies? Everybody will have to go back. After a person's soul leaves his body and his death becomes confirmed, certain, yaqeen, those who are present should do a number of things as explained below, something that the Prophet had taught all of us. Look at how beautiful Islam is. Normally people do not know what to do. It's up to who is there or what the tradition normally want us to do. But Islam is not just following tradition, it's following guidance. And the best guidance is from Allah, and the one that taught us is through his messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salama reported that Allah's messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, visited Abu Salama. After his gaze became fixed because of death, he closed his eyes and said, "Inna ruha iza qubid tabi' al basar." When the soul is taken, the eyesight follows it. That's why when you don't know where the soul is coming out, you look at the eye of the dead person. The eye will be open, but normally they will follow the soul. That means they may see up or down or left or right. You see? So when the angel of death pull the soul out, it may pull from the right, left, from up, down. It's up to the what Allah have ordained. So each time when the soul is been pulled out, then the eyesight will follow. The significance actually is for those who are dying, they know. They know where they are going. There is no special significance that if you see the eye look up, that means it's a good sign. No. Just to tell us that that's how our soul depart from our body. They open their eye that they may be looking downward. That means the soul is being pulled up from below. How? Only Allah knows. Because the dying cannot explain to us. But the sign that the Prophet showed is look at the eye of the dead person. But normally you see the dead person open their eye. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want us to do is when the dead confirm on hearing this some of his relative realizing that he was truly dead, that means when the eye start to open wide and stop function, that means confirm that the person had passed away. So the messenger said, "La tad'u ala anfusikum illa bi khairin. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ يُؤَمِّنُونَ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ. Allahu Akbar. What we should do when you are visiting somebody who are critical, very sick, that anytime he may pass away, what you should do, the one who come and visit them, is to say what is good only. Everybody have their good side and they also have their bad side. We as a visitor don't talk bad about that person anymore. People at that stage, they are in a critical condition, they are dying. Are you going there to gossip about them? You better don't go. If you don't like him, don't go. Just stay away. And that's why people sometimes, if the person who is going to die still have a lot of problem with someone, if he said, please don't let this person come and see me. Don't let. You have the right to honor his right. Because there's something that happened only Allah knows. And they are not happy. And they don't want to have a bad ending. You know, by the presence of that person may also cause a lot of unrest to him. When he look at that person, he gets so upset, he may have a bad ending. He remember him more than Allah. The anger towards that person, if when he was healthy, he don't like to see that person. Even the Prophet did say that a Muslim to another Muslim, they should not become enemy more than 3 days. Yeah, okay? But it do not mean that you have no right to protect yourself from that person. Only you don't have to keep on talking about that person continuous for 3 days. Call us. You want to talk first day, talk. From morning to evening, you want to talk, you talk until there's nothing to talk. Second day, you're not happy, still want to talk. Yeah. I mean all the bad things. You always like to talk about bad things anyhow. The third day after that, you should make sure nothing to talk about him anymore. Khalas. Yeah, I just end here. I'm not going to think about him. I think of Allah Rabbul Alameen. Let him have his own peace and let me have my own peace. That's how we settle our problem. It's not that you have no right to protect yourself from somebody that you dislike. You have the right. Yeah? You have the right. But the way we do it. Yeah? So always remember, when somebody is not well, and if you know that the person who is sick dislikes certain person, he said, please don't allow that. Even they mean well. Even they mean well, they can pray for him. Yeah? From where they are, they don't have to come. Yeah. We understand this, inshallah. Yeah. Do we have somebody that we don't like in our life? You must know you're right. There's nothing wrong. Never mind. We try our best. You know? We try our best. Everybody must honor the right of everyone. They are not going to be your enemy anymore, but they just don't like. Alhamdulillah. Yeah? You do have no sin by not be present. You have no sin. Yeah? You're doing them a favor, and it's a good favor. And may Allah forgive us, inshallah. Why the Prophet want us, the visitors, to only say what is good? Because you cannot deny that everyone have some good in them. You can't do it. You cannot deny that. Even Allah do not ignore the good deeds of a person. That's why Allah said, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِسْقَلَ زَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ زَرَّةٍ شَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى Whoever do a good deed, even as small as an atom, I will present it to them. And also the bad deeds, I will present to them, but it's up to Allah now to accept it and to forgive. It's up to him. But Allah said, he loves to forgive. And when Allah accepts a good deed, see how kind and loving Allah is. Every good deed, he multiplies from 10 to 700 times. See, there is Allah's mercy. That means if you have 1 ton of sin, not 10 ton of sins, you have only 1 ton of good deeds. According to our calculation, gone. But to Allah, no. I will multiply your good deeds to 10 times until 700 times. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So, Because the angel also will be around. When a person is going to die, angel of death is there, the angel of mercy also is there. So you want the angel to say, Amin. That's what the prophet said. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ يُؤَمِّنُونَ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ. The angel who was present at that time will say, Amin. When you say something good about that person. It's an extra blessing for the angel to say Amin. And that is why it's a sunnah when people is making a dua, say Amin. You not necessary to make a majlis dua, only you say Amin. No. While you are talking, may Allah bless you. Amin. Have a safe journey. Amin. Use it. Because people are doing a prayer for you. Don't you want to accept that prayer? Say, Amin. And the angel also will say, Amin. And that's why the prophet always encouraged us to say what is good. But everybody also have their weaknesses. But you don't have to highlight anymore. Recall the goodness. I think I shared with you about some thing before. I don't have to repeat it, inshallah. Yeah? And the Prophet added, also it's good to make dua for somebody. Allahumma qfil li abi salama warfa darajata fil mahdiyin wakhlufu fi aqibilhi fi ghabirin waqfil lana walahu ya rabbal alamin wamsah lahu fi qabrihi wa nawwir lahu fi. This is some of the prayer, the supplication, the dua that the Prophet encouraged us to recite. Oh Allah, forgive so and so. You can just put the name. Yeah? If Abu Salama, Abu Salama. If this is somebody, you quote their name, elevate his or her position among the guided ones, and raise good successor for him or her from among his progeny. You see how beautiful the dua. We want the best for the person who died, who is going back to Allah. Pray that may Allah give him a high position. Yeah? Raise him to be among the righteous people. And in the same time, we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to give him good offspring. Yeah? Whatever children that left behind become righteous children. We pray for both the dying and the living. Yes. This is what Islam wants us to do. Not to wait for the moment to enjoy. That's why this bad guy is gone now. No. I will come back to you, inshallah. Forgive us and him. You see how when you ask Allah to forgive somebody, don't forget to ask Allah to forgive yourself. God, if not, you think that I have no sin. No? I don't have to ask Allah for forgiveness because I'm Mr. Clean. You know? The sinner is there, not me. No, no, no. The one who is talking to you may have more sin than you. Who knows? Only Allah knows what is in my heart, what is your heart, what is in my mind. But at least you acknowledge and you humble yourself that I also need Allah's forgiveness. So if everybody is thinking of, I also have sin, they also have sin, I ask Allah to forgive their sin, forgive my sin, do you think you have time to judge another person? You don't have time anymore. It's a good reminder. And that's why sometimes I'm not encouraging that to commit sin have a lot of blessing too. But I'm not going to encourage him, you know. I'm saying that when you commit sin and you acknowledge, then you know nobody is perfect. Yeah? And you are not going to be judgmental. Learn how to forgive. Yeah? Why we ask Allah to forgive us? Because we also are sinners and the person who is passing, who passed away, or those who are dying. O Lord of the people, O remember that the Lord that we are asking, the prayer that we are praying towards is to Allah who created everybody. Yeah. Whether you like him or not, because he is like you, you know, from your race or not, they are human. They are Allah's creation. You have no right to humiliate them because of their color, because of their race. That's why in Islam, do not want us, when you are talking, you get angry with somebody, and you look at her or him, hey, Bangladeshi. Oh, no, don't like that. Why? He know he's a Bangla. You don't have to remind him. You know. Hey, China. Don't he know he's a Chinese? You don't use that kind of tone. That means you are humiliating him for who he is. Who create Chinese? The Chinese create Chinese? No. Allah created them. You have no right to humiliate or abuse any color. Don't use that kind of word. Yeah. You can say, yeah, we are all human. May Allah forgive us and forgive all of you. Expand his grave and illuminate it for him. That means, may Allah give light. We need light for what? Why do we need light? At night when there is no light, how do you feel? Min az-zulumat ila an-nur, from darkness to light, from ignorance to ilm, to knowledge, from kufr to iman, from shirk to tawheed, from passive to proactive, from negative to positive, from destructive to constructive. That's how we move forward. That's how the Muslim always pray and work among themselves towards something better. This is some of the dua. Yeah? But the Prophet always remind us, when somebody pass, close the eye. Yeah? Use your hand, put some pressure, quickly close the eye. Yeah? So that the one who's going to come later on don't look at them. And some people say, why? Why he opened his eye? Gone. Because the time for him to go back, that is the last look. He can see how his soul is being pulled out by angel of death. That's all. That is the last for his eye to look at himself. After that, this eye will not function anymore. But Allah will give them new set of eyes, inshallah. And that eye, you don't have spectacle like this anymore. No reading glass. That eye is supersonic. No, you can see very, very far. Yeah? That is the real eye. Yeah? But that eye also, remember, here if the people who like to use their eye to look at people too long, then the evil eye will come in. Yeah? You know what is the evil eye? Yeah? People look at us with a different feeling. Supplication, as is expressed in the previous hadith, the angels say Amin to whatever is said at the time of death by those who are present. Yeah? This is the time of acceptance of the supplication. Now this is a good time where our prayer will be accepted by Allah, because the angel also will say Amin, and the angel is going to bring it up to Allah and say, this is what the people said. We are the witnesses. So always say what is good, brother. Yeah? And it is an important opportunity to make sincere dua for the deceased, asking Allah to forgive him, have mercy on him, and let him into his Jannah. That's what we have to ask. So if you don't like that person, then don't go there. Because you may not want to make this dua for him. You may say, let him go to hell. And then you don't go. Just stay away. You know? Because if you do this, don't forget, you can do this to those who is dying. the same thing can happen to you. Don't forget that. There are people may curse you too. You don't want to have that bad ending, brothers and sisters. You know? As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did for Abu Salama, that's what the Prophet always make dua for his ummah, yeah, in general. Yeah. Furthermore, it is not necessary to restrict the supplication to the deceased. Rather, it's also recommended to supplicate for other Muslims in general, as did by Allah's Messenger Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his above dua. Yeah. All this dua, it also apply for everybody. Yeah. Not only the dying, also the living. Yeah? Covering the entire body, this is a thing that we should do. After we have closed his eye or her eyes, the entire body should be covered with a sheet of garment, cloth. Aisha reported that when Allah's Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, passed away, he was completely covered with a soft embroidered sheet. And that is up to us. Whatever that you have, quickly you cover the body. Yeah. But you remember, I did remind all of us, before you do that, normally when a person dies, the last whatever, yeah, thing that's still inside the body, some urine will come out, and some of the it also will come up because it's loose, no more muscle to hold on, so the last thing will come up a bit here and there. Do some simple cleaning, wash it nicely, quickly, and then change, yeah, his, normally they use sarong already at that time, it's easier, and then you use a clean, yeah, sheet of garment, cover the whole body, cover the whole body, even the face, yeah, just to cover it, yeah, for a while. When people come, they want to have a look, you can just open only the face, not the body. Yeah, but until the authority, if they want to do more than that, then you leave it to them. Yeah. But the normal thing that you don't do is to just expose their body, you cover it nicely. But there is condition, yeah, for those who you don't cover even their face. From the beginning, you don't cover. Those who die in the state of ihram. You know who are, what does that mean? You are still in ihram and you pass away. You know when you're in ihram, you cannot cover your face. How cold the situation. You don't cover your face. You cannot put anything, yeah, on the head for the male. Yeah. The same for the female. When you are ihram, normally you don't cover your face. You don't wear even glove because the Prophet said no. Yeah. In general. Yeah. Whatever question you have, brother, just be patient. We will come back to you, inshallah. Now, however, if one dies in a state of ihram while he was performing Hajj or Umrah, that means he or she is still in the state of ihram. Yeah. But if he have done his Umrah and now he's back to a normal situation until for Hajj, that means he's out of ihram. So then the cover of the body is the same, the whole body. But when he died in a state of wearing ihram, you don't cover his face. Yeah? Let his face be exposed. Yeah? Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported that a man was riding his animal on Arafah during Hajj. And when it threw him off, yeah, resulting in his death, that person died. Yeah? You know, when you are in Arafah, you must be in a state of ihram. Nobody who perform Hajj when they are in Arafah and they are not with ihram. Because the ihram will start on the 8th of Zulhijjah. Yeah? The 8th ihram started. So the 9th is Arafah. The ihram will be changed only when you make your first jumrat. in Mina. At, on the 10th, then you can change your clothing again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iqsiluhu bima'i wa sidrin wa kaffinuhu fi thawbayn wa la tuhattitunhu wa la tutayyibuhu wa la tuqammiru raqsahu wa la wajhahu fa innahu yub'athu yawm al-qiyamah malbiya atau mulabbiya. Wash the person with water and lotus sidra." The sidra leaf have one good smell. "Shroud him or her in two garments. Do not embalm or perfume him. And do not cover his head or face." No covering of the head and the face. "He will be resurrected on the day of judgment giving talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak." Because that is the recitation for those who are in ihram. So whoever die in the state of ihram, when Allah raises back yawmul qiyamah, you'll see the difference. We may not say labbaik Allahumma, but there will be a group labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You know that they are the people who die in the state of ihram. It's just like you will know who is the muazzin when suddenly you see somebody's neck is so tall, long, then you know that is the muazzin. Our uncle Arifin, he is one of our muazzin here. Every Sunday, even he is so old, but he never missed the opportunity to call azan. Only when sometimes there's a young boy, the son of our jama'ah, just about 9 years old, he always seek permission from me if he's around. Start. I come, huh? I say, okay. But the uncle is there, he's ready already. No. One, I walk in, normally Arifin will start iqama. Unless, I will just stay behind and call the boy to come in. You start now, then I walk in. And then Uncle Arifin realized, somebody is ahead of him. But we love to encourage also children. But this is a good example. We have here a young children like to make iqama. And you have an elderly man like to call azan. Allahu Akbar. I try my best always sometimes when my jama'ah, the youths, always give excuse. You azan, I will call azan. I say, come on. But they say, you, I will start already. I mean, we just want to encourage everybody to learn how to call for azan. Then what we should do after everything is ready, we should hurry, they say, hurrying with the funeral. The Muslims should hasten to prepare the body for burial and then bury it as quickly as possible. And that's why in some country, even at night, they have no problem. After Maghrib, the graveyard is always ready. You have worker. After Isha. In the Middle East, you don't have that problem. Here, alhamdulillah, we are also starting to offer their death services. Only sometime, there are some people who don't like to go to the graveyard at night. They have that worry. They say it's haunted. No. Go to the graveyard anytime. Very peaceful. There's no music there. There's no karaoke there. Bad guy don't go there. Alhamdulillah. No bad guy would like to stay there also. It's a very peaceful area. The graveyard. And that's why the Prophet like us to visit the grave. It reminds us about a lot of things. The Muslim should hasten to prepare the body for burial and then bury it as quickly as possible. And Abu Huraira reported that Allah's messenger did say, "Asra'u bil janaza," hurry with a funeral. If it is for a good person, you bring it forward to its good destination. And if it's other than that, you drop the evil quickly off your neck. What do you understand by that? You have to carry. Even if he's a bad guy, what can you do? You have to carry him. To show that we Muslim will have to honor the right of every Muslim. Good or bad, we have to honor their right. Because they cannot walk by themselves anymore. Even when they're alive, they don't like anybody to get close to them, you know. But when they die, you have to get close. Because if not, they cannot go to the graveyard. You have to carry them. So for those who are bad, you know, who die with a bad ending, you still have to carry them. And you have to do fast. Why? You do not want to burden your back, the shoulder, your neck. If you see what is happening in Medina, I always encourage, but the sister won't have that opportunity, only the brothers. I say, whoever go to Hajj or Umrah, if they are going with me, normally I'll remind them, don't miss the opportunity at least once you participate in entering Baqi' in Medina by following the funeral. After the Fardu prayer, quickly stand somewhere near to Babul Baqi', after the Maqam of the Prophet, stand somewhere there and perform funeral prayer together. Immediately after the funeral prayer, you just walk ahead in front of you. You see the funeral is going to come out very fast. And people move very fast. And passing, keep on passing. To one. Then they walk up. When they walk uphill, there is where if you are not fit, don't carry. If you are not fit, don't try. Because it is very heavy. We have people who after that have chest pain. You just follow beside. For any emergency, you can give a helping hand. But you see a lot of people. Then they allow you to enter Baqi', the graveyard. Then you can see how fast the burial will take place. Very, very fast. Because people don't bring flour anymore. No water. No flower, nothing except human bringing the deceased, that's all. And no ladies. They don't encourage the lady at that point of time because the Prophet did once upon a time forbid ladies. Because ladies are too emotional. So they disturb the burial. They just do not want the body to be put down yet. And this caused a lot of problem, and from then the Prophet said, lady is not allowed. But later on, Allahu Akbar, Salama said the Prophet did allow. That's why until now in our country, the ladies can go. But in other countries, in Sri Lanka, in India, in Pakistan, this kind of country, they have given a signal, haram. Totally, they said, haram. Because there is a hadith. But if the woman can control their emotion, the Prophet do allow. So it's haram only when they cannot control their feeling. This command to hurry with the funeral should not be restricted to walking fast with the procession, but should be applied to everything that can be done to hasten the burial process. You don't have to delay unnecessary. Concerning this, there are other hadiths that are more explicit, but we do not adopt them because of the weakness of the chain of that hadith. The first one is when one of you dies, do not delay him and hasten to bury him. Read at his head the beginning of Al-Baqarah and at his feet its end. This is one of the. If you look at this hadith is weak hadith. Da'if jiddan. The status of this hadith is da'if jiddan. Meaning, there is no recitation of Baqarah or any ayat Quran to a dead man anymore. Second, I see that Talha is close to death. So inform me when he dies, so that I would witness his funeral and pray janaza for him. Hurry to bury him. A Muslim body may not be delayed among his people. This is also another hadith. And when you look at it, you have the command that in the chain of this hadith, there is two unknown men. When there is two unknown person in the narration, for the sign of hadith, you cannot categorize this hadith as authentic anymore. Because you have some stranger along the narration. So you stop that. Either you say mawquf, you stop there, or in qata, it was, the chain was broken. You are not sure that this may come from the Prophet or not. So you don't have to entertain all other hadith that is not authentic, when the authentic hadith is there to guide all of you. Now, brother and sister, always remember, when there is an authentic hadith to show you how to treat a dead person, what to do, you just follow that. You don't entertain a hearsay anymore. And the third is very popular among the common people. Honoring the dead is in burying him. There are people say, how you bury a person is one of the signs that you are honoring the person. And that's why you have so many ways. You know, people start to plan this, plan that, and decorate everything and put a lot of flowers. You do a lot of decoration now. Why they do that? Good intention. They want to honor that person. And that person is an honored person. But even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not allow anybody to do that on or at his graveyard. So if you have extra flower next time, you can send to Al-Khadim, and then you can have more fragrance here, inshallah. Or you can put at home, you don't have to send it to the graveyard. The people who die do not need all this decoration anymore. What they really need is a sincere dua from all of us. That's all they need. The last part that I like to share with all the good sisters and brother, burial in the place of death. This is one of the sunnah of the Prophet. In compliance with the Prophet's command to hurry with the funeral, all efforts should be made to bury a deceased in the land where he died. And this is also something most of us fail to honor. The body should not be transferred to another country because that would delay the burial. But if there is some necessity involved, then do. But don't delay unnecessary. If there is a Muslim graveyard in anywhere, just bury them there. But if there's no Muslim graveyard, or you have difficulty in doing all the Islamic way of burial, then you have to send to the nearest country as soon as possible. Alhamdulillah, some people understand this saying of the Prophet, and they always remind when they are sick, if they go overseas for treatment, they will remind their family member, if I will die here, bury me here. That would be the best advice. But it's better that we remind them. It's like our will, our wasiyat, so that they honor. This is also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know we are very sentimental people. We like, if we have a family there, all buried together, next to each other. But remember, even you are buried here physically next to each other, when you are going to be resurrected, you may not be resurrected together. Because there's other general hadith that the Prophet said, there are times you'll be buried there, but you'll be raised among Qarun, Pharaoh. You'll be surprised. They also got surprised. You also got surprised. Hey, this is not my place, I'm from Malaysia. No. You're from Egypt. Yes. Because even we are from different country, our character the same. We have the same character. So Allah will put you in the same group of people. Because you like that kind of people. You like to have that character. So be among them. Yeah. There's no guarantee. Do you think that you are buried in Mecca, Medina, you will be safe? No. You can be buried anywhere. In everything, you buried in Mecca, you'll be blessed. There's no azab. And then everybody will send the mayat over there. But there is no. Even the Prophet himself, when he was in Mecca, when he visited the grave, and Allah showed him that the punishment of Allah started for those who do not clean themselves properly and those who love to gossip and backbite each other. They don't have to wait until the day of resurrection. From the grave, you start the torment already. May Allah save us from this fitan, inshallah. On the day of Uhud, the dead Muslim were carried to be buried in Al-Baqi'. But then it was announced that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, command you to bury the dead one in the place where they were killed. That was after my mother had loaded my father and uncle, her brother, leveling their weight on the two sides of a camel, so they were all taken back and buried where they were killed. Because people are not aware about this ruling. They thought that Baqi is there already, so whoever killed at who, so we have to send them to that. The Prophet said, wherever they die, you bury them there. And that's why when you go to Uhud until today, you have seen the burial ground, but it's fenced up now. Because this is for the people who die in the battlefield of Uhud. There they will be buried there. Now today, if you look at what is been mentioned by the Prophet in this hadith, then you realize that if a person die anywhere and that is where they want to perform their prayer, and that's why the old masjid, most of the old masjid, the kampung masjid, graveyard is just beside the masjid. That was good, because after that you just go out and then proceed with the burial. But if you want to have the graveyard beside the masjid, always remember, don't keep on extending to the extent now the graveyard is in front of the masjid. Because then you are going to pray and you are facing the Qibla and there are graveyard in front of you. And this is why sometimes the Prophet did mention that one of the reasons that Allah cursed the people of the book is they have taken the graveyard of their high priest, their scholar, as a place of worship. That means you are facing also the graveyard. So if possible, those who want to build a graveyard beside the masjid, make sure they extend, you don't extend to the front. If there's no more space, then you move to a new plot of land that do not create fitna. But that is also good. No, I still remember when I first became Muslim, I lived in the masjid. I always sleep in the masjid. And few of the masjid that I choose to overnight, the graveyard is just beside. So when you turn here, you see the mosque. When you turn the other side, you see the grave. It's beautiful sometimes, very quiet, remind you on a lot of things. We Muslims don't fear all these things. The Muslim know there are shaitan everywhere. But the not yet Muslim, they don't have the term shaitan, but they have ghosts. They have ghosts. Ghost to us is shaitan. Now, Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr died in Al-Habashi and was transferred to Mecca for burial. When Aisha radiallahu anha went to Mecca, she visited her brother and said, "It disturbed me that he was not buried where he died." Of course, thing done, but Aisha is now reminding them. It really disturbed me. Which is the command of our Prophet. Unless you don't have a burial ground for Muslim in that place, then you have no choice. Yeah? Example, yeah, I've been to France before in the earliest, late 70s as an advisor for the Muslim refugees in France. Yeah? And I attended a funeral where there was some argument. The authority do not allow us to wash the body because they said they are not sure whether it's hygienic, it's clean. They are worried that they may have some disease, their viruses and so on. So we make an official complaint to the embassy. No, this is our right. So then they allow us to wash the body, and then we will make kafan, wrap them up. We perform our prayer. It so happened that area you don't have Muslim graveyard. That was at the end of 70s. Yeah? Now, alhamdulillah, a lot of Muslim graveyards, yeah? Here and there. So what to do? And the people are poor people. They cannot send them back home. It costs a lot. So at the point of time, we make a decision. Wherever you are buried, no problem. Just tell them that you don't put any other symbol, yeah, on the top. Because these are Muslim, even they have to bury in the Christian cemetery, you bury. As long as you bury the deceased, the rest you leave it to Allah Rabbul Alamin. It's like those who went to Hajj by ship before, you remember, in the late 60s and early 70s. So those who passed away, yeah, they will not wait until you reach Jeddah. No. They will do all the washing, cleaning, and then they will do the prayer, and they will let you down. They will drop you into the ocean. This is allowed in Islam. Yeah? So may Allah make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Yeah? For those who have problem that they will need treatment abroad, and you know that your situation is getting worse, you should remind, yeah, your loved one what to do. To follow the sunnah of the Prophet. Because by following the sunnah of the Prophet when you die, it's a good ending. Yeah, it's a good ending. Yeah? In this regard, Imam Nawawi said, Imam Nawawi, one of the scholar for Mazhab Shafi'i, if a dead person had request in his will to be transferred to a different land for burial, this should not be executed for him. To the extent. Somebody are very sentimental, you know. I want that, you know. They make a booking in advance. You know? But if you die here, no problem. But if you die overseas, he may say, I want to be buried. This kind of wasiat, it is not necessary to honor. Any wasiat contradict the teaching of the Prophet, we have the right not to honor that wasiat. Yeah? Because it is prohibited to transfer the dead. And this is the correct and chosen opinion which is held by most of the elite scholars who follow the Quran and Sunnah. Yeah? So this is what I'd like to share with the sister today. If any one of you who know that any of the family members who is having treatment overseas and the situation is getting worse, please remind everybody, yeah, the living, to do what the Prophet wants us to do. Yeah? That means you must contact the local Muslim authority centers and said, if anything, please help us. Yeah? That's how we arrange, yeah, the dead body. May Allah make it easy for all of us and give us the iman, the love towards the Quran and Sunnah, not only when we are healthy, even when we are sick, especially when we want to go back to Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yeah? Any question? Now we open for Q&A. Sister was asking, you can ask further if there is nothing. Good. Sister Fauzia, you want to ask something just now? Fadda. Soul, yes. Alhamdulillah. No. Open. Allahu Akbar. Allah Rabbul Alameen can ordain anything. Yeah? But I would say that even you see that they are maybe the muscle, it is not working anymore. Yeah? For the normal eye, normally, they will react in that manner. Yeah? That's why sometimes we don't have to worry about that. If you see the eye open, then you close it. If you see that the eye was closed, then you don't have to do anything with the eye. Yeah. There are many things can happen to us, and sometimes Allah allowed that to happen. Yeah. Of course, the fear is there. It's not that. That's why the prophets said that, "Innal mauta la sakarat." Yeah. When a person want to die, they do feel the pain. Yeah. It's the last struggle. But may Allah make it easy, inshallah. Fadda. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless her soul, inshallah. Naam. Yeah, it's good. Anything that normal people will just close, when they open because of other things, so that's why you call the tile up. Yeah. They tight because of their worry. If you delay, it become hardened. Then it's very hard to force. And that's why even the shoulder, if you let it straight, when you want to put the hand like qiyam, it's difficult because one, it gets stiff. Then you have to use force. So quickly they tight. They tight like, belum mandi lagi. Yeah, you can do that. Then after that, inshallah, when Monday, they just adjust here and there. But now the position of the dead person is like this already. The same go to the leg. The leg may open. So quickly you tie the toes. Yeah, make it close to each other. Yeah. More normally they tie from the toes. Yeah, the big toes. Yeah. Just to make sure that in that it looked nice, yeah. Yes. Yes, sebelum mandi. Yes. Correct. So that is easier. Yeah, to the kain. Make it easier for the other group. Yeah, who is coming in to do the washing. Normally, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. No problem. Yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah, we are very confused that you go to the tradition now. But where there's a place that's convenient, you do it. Only when you want to perform the prayer, then you have to lay it down properly. Now. That's why you see when you go to the mosque, if you bring the body earlier, they don't put somewhere around, they put at the corner. No? They put one corner first because they do not want to pray facing the body. Because our normal prayer have rukuk and sujud. Only funeral prayer have no rukuk and sujud. Naam. Any other sisters? Okay. You can. Other dua also there is. This is one of the dua. Now, like Allahumma qfir lahu warhamhu is also the dua. When you feel ayah also can be applied. The important thing is the Prophet is trying to remind us, don't forget to ask Allah to forgive the soul. You know? And also you remember if you recite the whole dua, you also pray for the living. You know, those who are present, you remember the general dua? Yeah? Ghaibina. Yeah? We said, Allahumma qfir li hayyina wa maytina wa shahidina. Shahidi meant those who are present here and those who are not present with us. We also pray for that. Yeah? There's a very good dua. A dua we make for everybody. Now. Yes. Always make it easy. You don't tie anything because people have to undo again. When you do it, you make it more easier. It's easier for the next team to come in. Yeah? If not, they are going to cut already. Mm. This one, yes, if it's open, tie it. The hand, you tie it. And the big toes. So that, yeah, the toe and the toes, yes. Yeah. A knot suggest. Yeah. Or you can do from the ankle, yeah. And it's just make sure that the leg tak terbuka lah. No? Dia kata tak kangkang sangat lah. Okay. No? Look nice, inshallah. Yeah. Any last question, inshallah? Nah, Sister Noreen. Okay. Yeah. Now, how to protect ourselves from evil eye? That is important. You know, to stop evil eye is almost impossible. When the Prophet said evil eye is there, that means evil eye is there. But how do you protect yourself? That is important. First, whatever extra that Allah have given us, our beauty, our wealth, everything, our knowledge, don't show off. Don't attract attention. Because that can cause evil eye. That is number one. Yeah? Don't forget that when somebody praise us, immediately you mention the name of Allah. You can say, MashaAllah. Yeah, you can, Alhamdulillah. You know, Rabbana laqalham. Connect yourself with Allah. Yeah. When you do that, inshallah, you are not eaten up by the praise of the people. No, people have the right to praise you sometimes. But the important thing, you must not be eaten up, yeah, by that praise. Then the riyah will come in. You know? So minimize yourself from exposing the extra thing that you have that Allah has given you. That will, yeah, minimize the evil eye. There's nothing for people to talk because there's nothing that you want to show them. We are very humble, very simple. That will save you. That's why you see all the poor people don't have, hardly have evil eye. They are so simple, their life. Nobody want to talk. Nobody want to bother about them. Yeah. For Ria, there's so many things to read. That's why the dua, the daily dua is very important. Bismillahillazi la yadur is very, very important. We want everyone to memorize it and practice it so that anytime, wherever you are, may Allah protect us. Yeah. Even, yeah, you know, that one is a very general dua. Bismillahillazi is a very powerful dua, actually. We don't underestimate the dua that we are reciting. Yeah? There's a lot of blessing in doing that. Yes, last one to Sister Faddal. Yeah, you, Nam, Zulaika. No, the Prophet never said that soul will be pulled out from the top only. It can come from anywhere. which Allah ordained. Yeah, inshallah. I can't hear you now, not so clear. Yeah, normally, how we really soul really leave our body is something nobody knows. And that's why when Prophet Muhammad was asked by the people of the book about the soul, you know, they are very smart. They asked Prophet Muhammad, tell me about the soul. You see, the Prophet don't know what to say. But Allah revealed this ayah in Surah Isra. Yas'aluna ka'ani ruh. Kuli ruh min amri rabbi. Wa ma'utitu min al-im illa qalila. He ended. He just gave that answer. Anybody ask you about the ruh, the spirit, say that this is Allah's work. Leave it to Allah. Because something ghaibiyah, unseen, you cannot explain. If you explain, people can still argue if they want. And you do not know when to end. So it's better say, this is Allah's work. Only Allah knows that. There's some knowledge. Allah said, the soul is going to leave you. That's all. But how? Don't go in so detailed. Some people say, you know, because you don't have the right knowledge. Ma'rifat. That's why you cannot see your soul. When you have ma'rifat, never mind. Your ma'rifat you keep to yourself. I'm okay with my ma'rifat. You know, don't be caught by this spiritual thing. Just believe the soul is going to leave us. Confirm you are dead. Now, you have still one last one. Surah Isra, 85. No. Alhamdulillah, Sister Rohani is a reference. No, not necessarily hasad. Evil eye is just. People look at you, they have some feeling that only Allah knows. Not necessarily hasad, no. Yeah, kita katalah bahasa kita. Inshallah, we end our day today. And don't forget, you have to pray for those who are not well. Even you do not know them, especially Uncle Arifin, who has been very istiqamah with us. Yeah, whoever that we know they are not well, pray for them wherever they are, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Before we end, brother and sister, two announcements, please. I forgot. Number one, you will see that Aisha, Sister Aisha is in charge. There is an activity by Super Thinker and Al-Qadim Youth. Al-Qadim Youth this year is going to have a lot of activities. Inshallah, we hope when the sisters and the elders know, they can give them whatever support they need. Yeah? There is a competition. Yeah, is with Aisha. There is an envelope that this competition, inshallah, is for the children, three group ages. One is from maybe four to six, huh? Yeah, 4 to 5, 6, 7, 8 to 10. So three categories. So anyone who have children that age, you are encouraged to go and buy that. It's just 35 ringgit. There's a competition. And then at the end, there is prize. This is the prize. First prize, bicycle. Alhamdulillah. Second, building set and construction toy set is good for only for children. Yeah. 35 ringgit ish. Yeah? And those who don't have children, you want to sponsor, you are welcome to do that. Then we will look for that group of children. Yeah? Then the information is in the envelope. Yeah? It's something to help the children and in the same time to help Super Thinkers activities. This is number one. Get further information from Sis Aisha. The envelope is with her. The second is our announcement about the class organized by TMEA. Yeah, this class have been conducted last year. For those who want to join the class, to you say Tajweed Made Easy Academy organized these classes. Actually, this class is from the foundation is founded by my daughter. The registration form is at the office. You can go to the office, and class will start once we have 10 students. Only sisters. Yeah, this is only for sisters. Yeah. Last year they have a good program here. A lot of people who join have benefit, and they have an ongoing program online. So these are those we have organized the class here, inshallah. Yeah. So those who want to learn how to recite the Quran with tajweed, make it easy, inshallah, you can join this program. Yeah. Just 100 ringgit. Everything, the information you can get from the office, inshallah. Yeah. It's going to start soon. Once you have 10 pack, then they will start to organize the class for all of you, inshallah. That's the two announcements I'd like to make. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Never mind. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No problem. No problem. Okay.